If you would, let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15. We'll read the first 8 verses of this chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll begin reading at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, that is Peter, then by the 12. And after that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep or some have died. After that he was seen by James, and then by all the apostles. Then last of all he was seen by me, that is the apostle Paul also, as by one born out of due time. It is on this foundation of truth that the whole of the gospel of Jesus Christ is built. This foundation that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again the third day, according to Scripture and according to these witnesses. This is the foundation on which the entire gospel of Jesus Christ stands or falls. If the foundation is found to be faulty or unreliable, if these statements are not true, then the whole of the claims of the gospel of Jesus Christ, they come collapsing down, crashing down. And they are unreliable, and there is no salvation, there is no hope in faith in Jesus Christ. But the gospel declares these simple truths. Jesus died for our sins. It really is a simple message. Hopefully we'll understand the complexity of it this morning, but yet it is a simple message. Simple to receive, simple to proclaim. Jesus died for our sins. The gospel of Jesus Christ declares that all of mankind, the human race, has fallen short of God's glory. That is, God's standard of righteousness. God's standard of what's right and acceptable. And because every human being is born into Adam's race as a sinner, one who is already going away from God, those that are born to that race grow up to be sinners by practice. One of the greatest evidences to the reality of the gospel is the universal evil of the human race. It doesn't matter what country you're in, it doesn't matter what race you examine, there is a universal evil, self-destructive evilness about the human race. The Bible declares that man is lost and undone because of sin. But God's grace provided a way for his just wrath to be satisfied. And that way is a way of mercy and grace. His wrath is to be satisfied because he's a just God. He can't just simply say, oh well, it's all right. Man has rebelled against his Creator, but God's grace and God's mercy says, I'm going to provide a way that satisfies that wrath. Justice will be carried out. Righteousness will be satisfied. But because of that provision, I'll be able to show mercy and grace to my creation, to the human race. That provision was the provision of a perfect, sinless man, on whom God's wrath would fall for the entire sin of the world. This is what the gospel of Jesus Christ declares. This was the plan of redemption for the whole human race, this perfect Son of Man, who would not have to die for his own sin because he has none. Well, you see, the only way for that provision to be made was for the eternal Son of God to take on the humanity of his creature. One who was born of a woman but who did not receive the sinful nature of Adam because Adam was not his father. Jesus died on the cross as the substitute for all that have ever been born or that will ever be born to the human race. Jesus died to pay the debt of the sin of the human race once and for all on the cross. Jesus did not die for his own sins. He died for yours and he died for mine. Then the next truth that's mentioned here in this passage that we opened with is that he was buried. This is an important factor. The Romans were experts in death. They knew how to kill people. The fact that these Romans, experts in execution, experts in cruelty and death, they buried Jesus. It was clear evidence that Jesus fully tasted death for every man. He fully tasted the pains and the sorrow of death, and he did it for me and he did it for you according to this gospel. And then he rose again the third day. As the eternal, sinless Son of God, it was impossible for death and for the grave to hold him after the wrath of God had been fully satisfied, after justice had been fulfilled. The Son of God, the Son of Man, God's perfect man, he rose from the dead never to die again. Faith in this gospel, pretty simple, isn't it? Faith in this gospel, faith in this Jesus, saves all who believe. His death becomes our death to sin and all of its sad consequences. Look at the human race and see the sad consequences of sin and rebellion against God. And then know that when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, that you are delivered from all consequences of sin. Immediately from the penalty of sin, you are no longer guilty before God. You become his child rather than his enemy. The provision of that victory of the cross is that you have freedom from the dominion of sin. You don't have to continue to be dominated by sin that destroys you and everyone around you. You can live a life of victory, a life of godliness because of the cross of Jesus Christ. And because of that faith, one day the assurance is yours that you're going to be with God forever, no matter what happens. If you go by the way of the grave, it doesn't matter. You're going to raise just like he did. If you're alive when Jesus comes, you're going to go immediately to be in his presence. That's the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ when you put your faith in these truths.